Leviticus chapter 4, and that's, of course, the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And chapter 4, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 35. Leviticus 4, beginning in verse 1. These are God's words. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall also put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove from it all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the 2 kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys, just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh with its head and its legs and its entrails and its refuse, that is, all the rest of the bull, he's to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. Now if the whole congregation of Israel commits error, and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, and they commit any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and they become guilty, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a bull of the herd for a sin offering, and bring it before the tent of meeting. Then the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be slain before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove all its fat from it and offer it up in smoke on the altar. He shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. Then he is to bring out the bull to a place outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins and unintentionally does any one of all the things which the Lord his God has commanded not to be done, and he becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a male without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of the male goat and slay it in the place where they slay the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering. All its fat he shall offer up in smoke on the altar, as in the case of the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin, and he will be forgiven. Now if anyone of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, then he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without defect for his sin which he has committed. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat was removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. But if he brings a lamb as an offering for a sin offering, he shall bring it, a female without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they slay the burnt offering. The priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar, on the offerings by fire to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin which he has committed, and he will be forgiven. Those are God's words. So we have, in this book so far, covered the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the peace offerings. Here in chapter 4 is about the sin offerings. And one commentator says that these offerings were to be made because of sins committed in ignorance, which seems to be what the passage is communicating. Those sins that you don't know you commit, but still do commit them. In this chapter, very simply, it's laid out how these are to be offered and what is to be offered by four different groups of people. So verses 1 through 12, we see if the priest sins and their offering, they're to give. And then covers the whole congregation in verses 13 through 21. The whole congregation of Israel corporately, if they sin and their offering. And then the rulers or kings and their sins and their offering. And then the rest of the chapter, if an individual person sins and then their offering. The chapter as a whole shows us once again, that all people sin, even those who are in the Church of Jesus Christ today, and that sin does not distinguish between different classes of people, whether a ruler or a priest, or today a pastor or a deacon or some individual Christian. It doesn't matter. All people sin. We're also shown that God does not abandon His people. If God abandoned His people, there would be no sacrificial system in the Old Testament. But God does not abandon His people. He doesn't abandon us today. As the offering was offered to make atonement to God for sins, we know Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And yet today, it's not through the Old Testament system that forgiveness and true atonement was made, nor was true atonement made for them in the Old Testament. It's pointed forward to Christ. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, but only through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. And so through Christ we have eternal redemption. And just as the bull was sacrificed outside the camp, verse 12, so Christ, Hebrews 13 points out, so Christ suffered outside the gate. And therefore we are to go out from here, just as He went out, and bear Christ's reproach, as the Scriptures in Hebrews 13 says. Go out to the world and bear His cross, your cross, before the world. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are thankful for Your Word that we've read from Leviticus. Oftentimes we think of Leviticus or even like the genealogies and things like that, these in the Scriptures, and think of them as not that important, and yet they are vitally important, for they teach us over and over again, not only Your holiness, but they point us forward to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what was necessary for atonement to be made, for necessary for us to have forgiveness, for us to not have guilt anymore of our sins, and to be made at peace with You. And so, Father, we are thankful for the offering and the soothing aroma that You smell and the righteousness and death of Jesus Christ. And we ask now that You would receive us for Christ's sake, that You would receive us based in our union with Jesus Christ, and that You would receive our prayers because Christ prays for us and perfects our prayers. And we are thankful for Him and what He is doing now. And Father, we do ask for any here who do not know You, who are still remaining in their sins, that You would turn them to Yourself, that You would grant to them salvation in Christ alone, And as we'll hear this morning and in Romans, and Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit and do a mighty work in all of us, and justifying us and also sanctifying us by your grace and by your Spirit. Father, we are sinful. We have broken your commandments. Often we break your commandments and we don't even know we've broken them because we're ignorant of what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're feeling that is out of accord with your word and your commandments. And so, Father, in these things, we ask that you would forgive us. As you reveal these things to us, we do ask that you would forgive us for them now, and that you would turn us from them, that we would not commit these sins in ignorance any longer, and that you would turn us to righteousness by your Spirit and by your grace through your word, Father. Father, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and so we are thankful for your promises of assurance, of cleansing us of our sin and cleansing us of the guilt of our sin. And we ask that you would move us to a life of righteousness, a life of being spiritually minded, as we were learning in Romans 8, and that you would grant to your church holiness and righteousness and growth, even this congregation, but all congregations throughout the world, that you would bring in all your elect and you would sanctify us through your word and by your Spirit. Father, we also pray for our government, that you would grant salvation to our rulers and kings, that is our governing authorities today. And Father, ask that you would cause them to rule according to your word, that they would love you, and that you would even today rebuke them of their heinous actions and statements they make and laws they make that are out of accord with the principles of your word. Father, we ask that they would see Christ as king and head over them, and that they would submit and bow the knee. Father, we know that, as at least as has to do with our nation, that is our nation's only hope for the future. And so, Father, we ask that the gospel would be spread throughout our nation, that the government would allow the means to do that, but that the church would preach and proclaim and testify of Jesus Christ boldly, not being hindered by the government, but aided and spread by your Spirit through the word and our service to you and our proclaiming Christ crucified. Father, we ask that you would be with those who may not be doing well in their bodies or struggling. Ask that you would heal them or uplift them and encourage them in Christ. Those who are struggling in their souls, we ask that you would encourage them today as they hear your word, that they would be built up and grown in strength and faith, even in the midst of trials and sorrows and hardships. Father, help all of us. We need your help. For you are our great help, our guardian, and our guide. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.